It's the show's on, Joe. Stop screwing around. It's 4:18, and not exactly when you're listening to this, because this was pre-recorded, then somehow encapsulated by Pro Tools and then thrown up online, but it's pretty darn close. Or maybe it's 4:18 of some other day. Thank you for listening.
It's live on tape, the Jared and Joe 15-minute radio show. Whenever we have the time, we'll give you the show, and today we're going to talk about stress, because Jared is a time bomb waiting to go off.
No, yeah, I'm a clock tower climber, I'm telling you. This is just crazy. You know, it's just, my problem is me. I mean, A, I am me, so why is it that it's always me that's disparaging me, Joe?
Because you're your toughest critic, and, yeah. You know, remember what I told you? Didn't I tell you this on the phone last night? I heard a new saying, worry just puts off being prepared.
That is correct.
Yeah.
But see, and I told you, that's another issue with me. I'm just a bunch of issues. Why you hang out with me, I don't know. I'm baggage, I'm trouble. Because I don't get prepared because I'm always worried about a second Holocaust. I don't know who will do this to us, but I'm always worried that something, I'm not even Jewish, but I'm just worried that something like that will happen. Like that it's some summer evening when it's all perfect to hang out with the kids, then all of a sudden here comes all these enemies of the state, and they come storming in unabated, and then they march us someplace. I've even come up with a secret word for my wife, gonads. When I say that to her, that's when we run. That's when I feel it's a good time to break from the line and run and hide.
And, well, now everyone has a secret word, gonads. You right, can I know, use that no, yourself.
Exactly. So if you happen to be one of those Nazi-like oppressors who wants to march us to some camp at some place, that's not the secret word anymore.
We're going to have to change that secret word so we don't get hacked.
So there we got two levels of issues there. We got stressed out and crazy depressed, but he's worrying, and if you worry, you can't prepare. But I won't prepare because we're all going to be killed by some Nazi-like oppressor.
Why do you think you feel this way? Why do you think this is on your mind?
Well, you know what? What happens here is I need to constantly create something, even if it's crap creation. And I haven't been lately. I haven't been writing. I haven't been working on the editing I was going to do. I haven't, let alone written the masterpiece novel I was going to do. I was going to write some short stories and maybe get those published like back in the day. Haven't done that. So when I stop creating, then I start like turning in on myself. It's ugly.
What's keeping you from creating?
Me, I guess. Dang it. It always comes back to me, and I'm the one that should be in control of me.
Well, I think that you're a little busy. I mean, you have to admit, when you go through the phase of rearing children that are young, I think that you have to know that some things just have to be put on the shelf for a few years.
Yeah, and that's what people have told me. They're like, for God's sake, stop complaining. You have little children that you watch all week long.
And then you have a job where you are doing radio. And it's stressful in that you do how many breaks for how many stations and how much time?
Well, and that's the thing. If it were a full-time job, I'd feel a lot better. But it's a part-time job. And listen to this, folks. It sounds like something from the mind of an insane person. And they're trying to implement this with people like me who they feel have enough of a stream of consciousness that can do this. Here's what happens. On a typical radio station, as Joe Myers could plainly tell you.
I can attest.
There might be 5 or 6 DJ breaks an hour. You know, in between songs, maybe right before commercials. This, you're doing not one station, but dozens and dozens of stations and all their breaks. So in 1 hour, you might do 70 breaks.
Good grief.
And the real tricky part is it's not for one station. It's all different stations. So you have these 3 computer screens in front of you. You'll do a break for one station, and then you'll hit page down, which sends it out to those to that affiliate, and then the whole screen changes, and it's a whole different station, a whole different climate, a whole different locale, a whole different listener, and a whole different promotion. It's crazy.
I think you're taping this rather, 20 minutes before it airs?
Yeah, you get like a 20-minute head start, and then you run like a madman.
Oh, gosh, no wonder. You're feeling so stressed, your head's going to explode.
Well, it is a nice release, but then sometimes I get sad because I'm sitting in there in this little studio, and I'm like, is this really radio? You know, I'm faking like I'm local to some little town in Missouri.
And pretending like you're live.
Yeah.
And so, by the time you're done with the shift, how close is it to real-time airing? You start off with a 20-minute lead.
Yeah. Well, I can now I'm getting good enough that I get ahead, so I'll go out and take a walk or something. And so it's pretty close. It stays about 20, 30 minutes the whole time.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, and sometimes when I'm behind, it's awesome. Like, it's kind of a fun game. Like, it's like the final seconds of a March Madness game. You know, the clock's counting down. I've got like 30 seconds to record this thing and send it off so it'll actually play.
Oh, gosh. In the beginning, I know this was really frazzling you.
It really killed me. The thing that I worry about, though, is that in all these breaks that I'm recording, one's going to slip. You know, I'm going to say, and I do this a lot, where I'll start, you know, hey, it's Happy Country 102.3. This is Jared. And then I cuss, you know, like, because I'll get up, you know, I'll flub the weather. I'll be like, and it's your weather. God damn it. And I'm afraid one of those is going to get sent to the Bible Belt. And here comes, you know, a happy family of, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Jesus Pants and their 10 kids in the minivan. And they're like, let's listen to our favorite Lone Star song. And, hey, it's Jared, and here's your weather. Oh, God damn it. Jesus, kill a priest.
Oh, you better stop.
Yeah, so I'm worried. And so I'm terrified that one of those is going to get sent.
So far, it hasn't.
Then I know.
Well, if you eliminate cursing from your vocabulary, you won't have this problem. When I was on live radio, I did work very hard to eliminate any cursing from my vocabulary.
Yeah, I have, in live radio, I have been responsible for the F word twice. Ooh. And not been fired or fined or anything. People noted it, and they thought it was amazing I got away with it, but one time I was really drunk, and the other time it wasn't me, I just turned a mic on a guy who couldn't monitor me. And bam.
Oh. Yeah. So, I've never had the pleasure of having that feeling, that sinking feeling when you... Oh. When you say that.
Well, that, if you don't mind, I could share a little anecdote. Well, this has been all about me, the first part of this 15 minutes. So maybe I should come back. Okay, cool radio anecdote coming up in several minutes after we discuss Joe for a little bit.
Oh, well, I've got an anecdote on that note.
Well, and let me just say, I am violating an international law when I complain about my life in front of a cancer patient. There's some kind of law there.
I've already had the treatment. What we're doing now is the after treatment. My prognosis is good. Yeah. So, you know, just be yourself.
Well, hold on to your anecdote, because I got a question for you. How long does the cancer license last? I mean, their cancer mojo was huge in getting people to my comedy shows, I think. You show up here with your bald head and you're like, hey, my friend's doing comedy. I'd love you to support him. They're like, oh, anything, Joe. We're tired of praying for
you. That's starting to fall off. So, no, and I can still play the cancer card because I have that chemo fog, the post-cognitive impairment.
Okay.
And I can't sometimes come up with the words, just like then. And just coming over to your house a few minutes ago, I went past your house. How many times have I been here?
Oh, that is weird.
I had to go down by the park and turn around because I missed it.
Well, and what I like is when you call me and hang up, I don't know what you're doing.
I'm purse dialing you. I don't know.
I don't berate you, or even if you wake the children, I'm like, well, Joe, she has cancer.
Yeah, I can only play that card with people who don't know me. Because if you know me and you see me, you think I'm doing okay. You know, we're getting these expansions. My chest is looking normal.
Nice.
Better than it used to. We're not even finished.
I know.
And then from the outside only. And then so people see me.
A cancer boon.
And people see me and they think, oh, she's doing fine. I don't have to worry about her. But I have fatigue, and I have that chemo brain. I can't think straight, and you know who's going to hire me like this? I don't know.
You could be that dingy lady on the Rock and Roll Morning Show in Boise.
Absolutely.
You know, you built your career on being the smart, witty woman that defied that stereotype. But you know, it's time now for you to fall back into the comfortable haze of the blonde who giggles at the loud guy's jokes.
Yeah, when my hair comes in, maybe I will dye it blonde and go back to being the weather bunny.
So the cancer license, I was asking about that when it goes, and so you still have time.
I can still use that. I can play that card.
Because I've ridden on the cancer coattails.
Yeah, and you know, you've done a nice job of it.
I haven't. Well, I did that with my mom too, you know, and people, I mean, that still works sometimes. Oh, you know, I'll be like, oh, my career, I'm broke, I'm unemployed, and be like, well, you took care of your mother. In 2005, you know, come on now.
I know, but you're doing things that you're not set up to be a 9-to-5 guy. I know you did it with the Census Bureau, and you did a great job, and maybe you will do those jobs in the future, but you're just way too creative to limit yourself with something like that. I think you need your own hours. Just got to learn how to pull it all in and harness it.
Market myself.
Yeah.
But again, it's coming back to me again. We're discussing you. You had an anecdote.
Oh, about saying something on the radio. This was years ago, and I was talking to my radio partner, and I meant to say, oh, you're just trying to jerk us around. But I said, you're just trying to jerk us off. And then we went into a commercial stop set, and I didn't even know I said it. Well, a certain large grocery store chain was going to pull their advertising because some bigwig with, it begins with an A.
Really?
And they heard that and they thought that I was that guy.
Well, those wankers are closing stores everywhere, so it shows that an uptight attitude does not pay off.
And when I heard about it, I said, "What? What did I say?" So they had to play the air check for me, and I did not even know it.
I had an incident like that where I never focused on my show. I was always busy with people in the lobby or whatever, and the music was fading. I ran in, I turned on the mic, and I just grabbed a PSA real quick, and there's this thing called Color Fest in Mancos for the Leaves. In Mancos, Colorado, beautiful area. And I went on the air and I said, "Oh, coming up, Mancos, it's a Color Fest," even though there are no black people there. And I just froze. I'd already said it.
Oh.
What the hell was I thinking? Oh. And my friend would later, we went out for drinks out of the night. He goes, "I felt all of Durango, where my beloved Durango, where I worked, freeze and wait to hear what you were going to do." And I don't even remember quite what I did.
You're only as good as your recovery.
Right. And I just said, you know, that even though there's no black people there, which shouldn't matter at all, as you and the family a good time.
That's awful.
I know. What the hell?
Well, that's why you are the beloved Jared Ewing.
So I did this. I turned it into a whole bit where I recorded people all around town explaining as to why I did it. And then played this montage, which was kind of dumb because a lot of people didn't even hear it, and I turned it into a bigger issue. And then people were calling the station, "What did he do?" And they're like, "Oh, he went and invoked an old racist term for black people, as in coloreds. No big deal."
They said invoked.
Yeah, please.
Well, so you're the new boss on The Office, then?
Pretty much.
That's the kind of stuff that Carell's character would have said.
And now you went back. Did they pull their airtime?
No. They believed me that I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't normally say things like that.
Well, I'll tell you an F-word story then, real quick.
Oh, do it.
And see. And this is de-stressing me already.
See?
We had some other stuff we were going to talk about, like how everybody's getting hacked. Their computers, Sony's getting hacked, Nintendo's getting hacked. Please, your computer companies, how is it that you're getting hacked? How sad is that?
Well, I also don't think we notice it so much because I think our Macs are pretty good.
They're good about the non-hacking.
At thwarting the hacks.
I think as far as unhackability, I'm pretty close because I use Firefox, which is supposed to be the best browser, and a Mac.
I don't use Firefox.
Explorer, I don't know.
I use their Safari.
Oh, I guess Safari could be good too. I don't know.
Okay, so tell us your story.
Oh, quick. Okay, yeah, we're running out of time. If you
3
don't mind.
Minutes to go.
Okay, a Big Dog 96.9 in Farmington, New Mexico, and we were just dirty classic rock station. You know, we're the armpit of America. We'll act that way. And we always had strippers on and this and that, and so we were giving away tickets to Kiss as they were on a reunion tour and coming to Denver. So we were dropping water balloons on women from the top of our building as kind of a wet t-shirt contest. And mostly, the only thing that came out of it really was the F word, and this woman claimed she was injured in the eye after getting hit in the face by a water balloon. But my partner's on the roof with water balloons, and I'm in the studio, and I think he can monitor me, but he's up on the roof, and he's unable to monitor me because the monitor's not working. And because of that, he's in an angry tirade. So I'm on the air, and I'm like, "Okay, Classic Rock 96.9, we're dropping water balloons on hot ladies for tickets. Let's go to Todd on the roof and see what he's doing." And I flip it over, and all I get is this fucking mother
beep
thing. I mean, boom. As clear as that, yeah. Maybe I'll edit that, and with bleeps or something. And And I just froze. I felt like the weight of me just fall away, and I was just a floating layer of skin cells that was left to make a decision. And I would later be told by a bunch of people eating at the Durango Diner that the whole restaurant was blasting this station, and then boom, that came over, and everybody just stopped eating their eggs and their green chili. And looked up at the radio, and they were waiting. And all I said was something like, "I gotta go take a cold shower," or something like that. And that was probably the funniest thing I said on that station during my whole 2-year tenure.
And nothing came of it?
No, a trucker called. He goes, "You know, I was driving through about 3 weeks ago, and you were on the air late at night, and you told some guy you were going to kick his MFing ass." And I didn't even know I had said that. I was really drunk. The only way I found out about it was this trucker and then some skaters who approached me. Some skaters who traditionally don't think I'm cool, but once they heard me say it on the air, they skated up to me at Buckley Park in Durango, and they said, "Dude, last night you totally dropped the F-bomb." And I was like, "What, really?" And then I was accepted by that cool gang.
It just doesn't seem to matter anymore. I am amazed at the way the F-word is thrown around in public places and stores and anywhere I am. Young people on the phone talking like that. I used to stop my car and get out and lecture youngsters about that sort of thing.
You're that lady.
I know I sound like I'm about 70 years old, don't I?
Well, it's just classless. You know, I grew up with a dad who was just a barrel of angry epithets, and my mom did her best to keep us from that. And my grandma, you know, that was one thing she always stressed. Just try to be classy. And when you're dropping all those F-bombs and stuff, it's not.
It's not very classy. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that a lot of kids and people lack today. Okay, so it's 4:33. We said we were going to do
15 minutes.
Our 15 minutes is up.
All I need you to do is make some kind of beeping and or yodeling sound that I'll use to edit out the cuss words.
Me?
Yeah.
Beep, 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 beep.
Okay, I guess I'll
have I'm backing
to
up.
Give her room. She's got cancer.